Hello, and welcome to the Unscripted SEO Podcast. I'm here with Marilyn Jenkins. Why don't you give yourself a quick introduction, and we'll get started.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Jeremy. I'm delighted to be here. My name is Marilyn Jenkins. I'm the CEO and founder of Law Marketing Zone and MJ Media Group. I help local businesses and law firms get their earn more cases, revenue, and profit by getting their internet marketing right.
Nice. Okay, so did you start in the legal marketing area to begin with, or did you migrate to doing marketing for law over time?
Over time. I've been doing digital marketing since the early 90s, and it started out when friends who owned businesses said, okay, I hear I need a website. Can you help me? And then it transitioned in, okay, I have one now. What do I do with it? So it was, I've been in digital marketing for a very long time. So you learn what's happening and what works. And so transitioning from business to business and helping all the businesses grow and getting referrals. And as things were getting pretty busy with Google ads and Facebook ads, I started getting referrals of attorneys. And this has been about 6 years ago. And it just works out really well for what I do for attorneys works perfectly for local businesses as well. And so I focus and market to attorneys.
Awesome. I also started a long time ago, 2006, 2007 myself. But, working on getting DMOS directory entries. It's one of the first tasks the marketing team had me working on. Reading the SEO book by Aaron Wall. So it's definitely a different game now. What would you say is the biggest sea change going from previous age to like the last 6 months, last year?
I think the importance and the details in your Google Business Profile for your SEO has made a massive difference. And I think the thing is when Google Places, it's just another iteration of that. When they turned on all these features, it's like they didn't tell anybody. And nobody reads Google support docs, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, look what I found. All of these things in there that makes it more of a, not just a directory. It's like its own social media, if you think about it. That more engagement gets more searches.
That's true. I mean, I'm thinking of like midterm when they had like Google Plus. It's kind of like they took pieces of it and Frankensteined something new, because we had Google Places and that was okay-ish. And then they tried to move everything to Google Plus and then they realized that that totally didn't work. That died. So I think it is interesting. There is a lot on the Google Businesses page side of capabilities that a lot of people aren't aware of. What would be the top three things if somebody is either working with a client that is a small business or they are a small business, what are the top three things that bring value that you look at to tweak in a Google Business Profile?
First off, stop thinking of it as a place to store reviews. It is not Google My Business. So it's so much more. And to tell you the power, Google says 60 to 80% of the traffic does a search, a local search, clicks on the map pack. So what's super important is having your correct address and have it consistently everywhere you have it around the web, the correct and legal name of your business. But one of the big factors is choosing the right categories. Now, you can, they're predefined and you choose them, right?
Yeah.
But you want to say, like, say you're a specialty bakery and all you choose is baker. So it's like an attorney choosing, a divorce attorney choosing lawyer, law firm. That's says nothing. But if you say divorce attorney, and in most locations you have between 3 and 7 choices of categories. So if you have a business and you do multiple things, choose them in order of the business that you want. So your name, address, phone number, and your categories are the most important to get those right.
So citations, that citation piece of making sure that you've got your address on your site synced up with what's on your Google Business page. I think there's a couple of nuances there. First of all, do you use a specific citation building service that makes a little bit of that building out process? Like, I know that there's new iterations. 10 years ago, it used to be you had Axios, Neustar, and Localese were like these aggregators where you could put in your entry and it populate to the ecosystem. I think Superpages is now a super aggregator. Are you familiar with on the local side, like what tools to use?
Yeah, and those, what I like to do is I like to use Bright Local or, you know, a search atlas, you know, start with something like that. But if you go straight to the aggregators like Axios, that's perfect. And but you have to think about your strategy. So if you start at the bottom and you fix something and then your Axios is wrong, then eventually it's going to be wrong down below because, remember, it's going to aggregate down. So if you have the capability, start at the top, fix it at the top, right? Because okay, that's going to be massively important.
Okay, so when it comes to local search, think top down, hit the aggregators, then look for additional opportunities to fix those other citations that aren't correct. And I'm pretty sure Bright Local, it used to, and it probably still has like a citation comparison. It tells you which ones are not matching what you told them to.
So, and it tells you exactly what's different, whether it's the word sweet being S-T-E or spelled out. You know, if you've got, you know, so it's every little thing. They actually give you, the report is pretty amazing, that it will highlight what is different.
So when it comes to citations, like, is it like a sweet spot, a certain number of entries that you look to build over time, over a year? Or is it like do you just go all out at the beginning, hit the aggregators, and then buy, you know, the next month and do like 100 additional citations and have some poor guy outsourced filling that out again and again that aren't correct? Is there a volume issue or like, because I know that clients are like, well, how many directories should I be in? How many citations should I have? What's your answer to your clients on that?
I think when it comes to law firms, there's a top 88. That we do, and we suggest that you do some every week. You know, have your team do some every week. When it comes to the aggregators, you want to put those out there, and then, you know, add as many citations as you can. Like, we like to do like 350 a month. There's two schools of thought right now. There's some SEO people that have been in the industry a long time are saying citations are not directories, but citations, which are different types of data points, are not holding as much weight.
Yeah.
But the big thing that I'm focused on as well is those directory listings, right? Local listings. Make sure that if you, say you're a member of your Chamber of Commerce or you sponsor a T-ball team and they're giving you a backlink to your website, make sure your email, your address and name and everything exactly the same on all of those, because all of those count in the grand scheme of things, more importantly than just a data point.
So that ties into something I touched on with Garrett Sussman and with Morty Oberstein in my last podcast, which was the growing importance of Google's understanding of your brand and branded queries. And it sounds like as far as what we should concern ourselves with as SEOs is kind of making sure that what we're putting out there for entity about your business, it trying to find more places to put your entity out there and then make sure that it's consistent and correct. Because if there's different information, then you're like wasting that time.
Right. And, you know, it's like thinking about the knowledge panel, right? Google's knowledge panel, that kind of thing. I believe I just recently had a conversation with a gentleman that his company helps larger companies set those up. It's like whether it's an artist, a singer, a business, an entrepreneur, if you are not local focused, and it's valuable to have that. Now, to build a knowledge panel is to build data points for AI, for other search engines. So putting all of your branding out there and making sure your message is consistent. One of the things that we run into as SEO people that have been working with clients long term is how has their message changed from like 5 years ago to now? Right. So if we want them to be consistent right now, we want to make sure we go back and find everything and make sure that the things are linked in that are consistent with their current brand message. But I think that's important to have that brand message and not including just on your Google business profile. At that point, you want to make sure that you have consistency on that brand message around the world. So everything from ChatGPT, Perplexity, Bing, Yahoo, everyone else will pick up on that and build your infrastructure, if you will, your SEO, based on all of that data.
Are you seeing any significant flow or anything you're able to actually report on to your clients as far as volume or clients won that have come from those AI tools? Or is it just seeing that those are there, they do exist? Is there anything attributable yet for you that you've seen that you are able to report to clients?
As far as solid data from people, you know, there's a lot of fear going around with some businesses saying, you know, the young people are starting to use AI for their search engine instead of Google. And I'm just hearing fear. I'm not seeing data. Okay, yeah, so they'll do that. But where is AI getting the data? They're getting it by search, search. And now they're doing their own search. That's why if it's not equally important to keep your Google business profile up and to the detriment of anything else. So if you've got a blog going on, if you're putting articles on Medium, if you're doing any of your social media, that's important too. You want to do both. But your Google Business Profile also has now places for products and services and posts. So you can put articles, if you're writing blog posts that are keyword specific and the correct linking, put them on as a post on your Google Business Profile. They age off, but if you consistently put there, you can have one a week or as many. They age off in 6 months now, where it used to be, I think, 1 week. So it's rolling data. But each one of those articles tells Google what you're relevant to be in. So you take that article and you're using it in all these different locations. AI gets it, Bing gets it, Google gets it, everybody gets it. So it's a consistent message.
That's smart. I didn't really think about It's always I see SEO as a game of letting the search engines know everything you can about your business entity. You know, this is a new piece of content I made. I made this content over here. I was on this podcast. I was featured in this, radio show. Coming back to making sure that Google is aware of those connections, literally posting it to your Google business page is almost as good. I obsessively submit things into Google Search Console manually to make sure that it gets indexed faster. But I think that's a good second step is to, if you're posting a new article, then, add it to your Google business page if you're a local business. Which is curious. So what do you do if you're a larger entity and a branded entity? You got knowledge panel. You have a different game for the knowledge panel if you don't have a physical address. Do you just lose that capability, or is there other knowledge panel actions that you should consider that might be beneficial?
Well, so you don't have an address that you can put out there. So then you're like us. We're entities that don't have being a local business does me no good because I work nationwide, U.S. and Canada. So. To me, it's keeping up all of the articles, and then we are creating a knowledge panel for both Law Marketing Zone and for myself. And one way that we're doing that is we're building a website for my name, and with that would be the information and the brand I want to put forward and the data I want to put forward about me, my articles, my blog, my podcast appearances, guest appearances, and my podcast. So it's one of those things it's an opportunity for you to, or that larger entity to pick, is there a face of that entity that they want to make known, then get a website so the thing is being able to control the data, right? So if you build your own website, you control the data and make sure everything you put out points back to the website that you control.
Yeah.
That makes it more authority and real, and it gives the knowledge panel confidence in the data because it's you. It's not on Medium. And Medium, you're just written space, right? You don't own that space.
That's true. So would that be two additional steps, making sure to add that schema, same as markup, to your personal site to link to your about page on your agency site profile?
Exactly. And that's what we're doing. We're just making my personal site is going to be literally just everything that I do, and then it'll link back to my brand, and bring in my social medias. And so keeping the message the same, and it gives the AI bots, everybody that's connecting the dots about me, if you search for me, eventually when we get it finished, but as it starts building, all of the dots are being connected, and it gives the search engines and the AI engines more confidence in you, because here's that one site that you own, and everything is congruent with that.
That definitely makes sense. Is that a tactic you've adopted yet for any of your attorneys, or like branching off and having like a single attorney site? You know, if you got Rabin, Weissman, and Weissman, do you optimize additional attorney sites on top of that, or is it focused mainly on that law, single law site, and just trying to optimize the one?
Right now we're focusing on the firm site, but I would like to see expanding. And the other thing about the Google Business Profile that a lot of people don't know is when it comes to professional services, which started with doctors and dentists, expanded to lawyers, is they have an associate listing. So okay. It's called a practitioner listing, is because it started in medical, right? So yeah. Say we have Jenkins Riviera, Jenkins Riviera Law Firm, right? So, but you come in and you're a reviewer and you're like, well, I've already got a brand and people know me. So under the firm, we could have a Google Business Profile practitioner listing for you, because you are a brand that you bring to the firm.
Okay. I hadn't played around with that. That's interesting. And I'll check and see, because I work with different agencies subcontracting, and they touch a bunch of different industries. I'm going to have to check and see. What niches do you know, aside from lawyers and dentists, from medical, is there other verticals or industries you know that have that affiliate, or is it universal for any GP?
Sure. I do know it's medical, because I've known med spas, doctor's offices, and dentists, because they'll have multiple dentists in an office. So the three I know are legal, medical, and dental. So if anything else, it could be valid. I just don't know. That would be a good question. But, I mean, just find a practitioner listing, you know, it's helpful, especially imagine an entrepreneur that partners with another famous entrepreneur. If you were to have both have your own practitioner listing underneath, that's three times the SEO juice, right, for someone
that's
searching
true.
For it.
Yeah, no, that's smart. So when it comes to, like, the new iterations of AI, there does feel a little bit of, like, they're eating my sandwich. Of like the old content marketing strategy was like create everything in the top of the funnel and it'll trickle down. Do you see that still as a successful content marketing play? Or, you know, I was talking with Mike Buckby of Noatoa, who suggested that focusing more on that middle of the funnel or bottom of the funnel of being, you know, really using content marketing to differentiate and explain yourself more thoroughly versus crafting a content strategy that's like, what is a injury attorney? Instead, it's how do we approach personal injury that's different from the guy on the billboard?
I think for that example right there, I think you need all three. So you need that, because what happens is, you know, whenever you get the question panel, so if you go to Google, Google likes to do this zero-click search, right?
Yeah.
You ask a question, and if your question has a video, a YouTube video that answers the question, you'll get the video with a timestamp. You hit play, and there's your answer, right? Same thing as if similar questions come up, those are down below. So I think having those top-of-the-funnel, very generic questions being asked in your FAQ on your Google Business Profile and on your website, and then if you have a personal website there as well, you'll have more of an opportunity to have those generic questions show up in the question panel. And each one of those is a really good SEO back to your website. So you want to have that. And for the people that come to your website, you want to have that middle of the funnel explaining what makes you different, right? That gives you the know, like, and trust factor. People do business with what they know, like, and trust. So you want to build that as well. Now, I wouldn't put the generic stuff on social media, but I would put the middle of the funnel, the introduction, the FAQ stuff that's going to help them get to know me as a business, me as a person, and my voice.
Interesting. So maybe thinking of, hey, the top of the funnel stuff, I'm not going to be obsessed about how well necessarily this ranks or the direct traffic to this, because that's definitely like, you know, you get paid, you're like, oh, hey, we're going to make 10 articles, and they come back and say, what was the traffic? You know, what are the rankings for those articles you made? Maybe it's about shifting that conversation and saying, hey, this piece of the puzzle, you know, we're not expecting that many clicks to this, but let me show you, you know, this is going to lead to more branded search because, you know, if you search for, you know, what happens when I run a red light and get in an accident, it's a zero-click search because it's information. But then, you know, the second search they do is, okay, I was in an accident. Who is an attorney near me?
That's exactly.
And then you increase your branded search because they say, oh, Ravens Weissman gave out that information. It is a hop, skip, and a jump to a branded query. So maybe thinking of almost like AI snippets as part of your site and content strategy, just on Perplexity, on Google, on ChatGPT, you know, because Siri just announced that they connected GPT on newer phones. So GPT-powered queries are coming to Siri users.
Yes. So. And you got to think, the question is like, what is a personal injury attorney? There's probably 100,000 sites that say that, that answer that question. Yeah. However, if you do a Google search, or hopefully in the very near future, even in an AI search, you're going to get the answer to that question local to you.
Right.
It doesn't matter. If I'm in North Carolina and somebody in Seattle asks the question as well, they're going to give me, presumptively, they would give me the results of the one in the town nearest me. And that's where that second branding would come in. Okay, Jenkins and Jenkins said, what is a PI attorney? Okay, a PI attorney in your room. Oh, look, it's Jenkins and Jenkins again. Okay, I'm going to click on.
Right. So then the presentation or the ROI discussion, like you're selling this to the client. We can't have that same conversation we did 10 or 20 years ago, which was, okay, look at the search volume for this query, and we're going to get an X percentage because of organic click-through models, and this is going to rank this way and show up that way. So we're definitely heading into almost a more PR-y type world where
and
we
I think
can't
you've got
attribute.
To think about a buyer's pyramid, too. I mean, attorneys and everybody doing marketing know it, whether they actually focus on that in their marketing, but you've got to think of that buyer's pyramid. We're putting articles out there that catches them at the top and video to bring them in, and then, you know, I mean, we're doing it, and we need to sell it as such. So you have to have the most boring, generic, top-of-the-funnel educational stuff. And no, it's not going to be this got how many hits or links or whatever, you know, clicks. But what does it lead to? You know, so it's part of the full strategy, I believe.
Yeah, I have this itch, or I've always had this itch or desire to be able to, like, really attribute or show, like, you know, what could be the SEO outcome of this in terms of, you know, we rank, we get traffic, and that leads to these conversions and these you know, this amount of revenue. And it feels to me like that's definitely more aspirational now. Like there's so much on social where it's not designed for a link anymore. Like TikTok, you literally, there are no links. You can't stop the video and click on a link in TikTok. On Instagram, most things don't have a link aside from in the profile. Then you go to a link tree, and that might have an option. But it's so much more branded search. So if you're doing anything that's on, you know, dark social, those are unattributed now. And then, you know, how do you sync up, like, somebody does a search on their phone, and then, they did a desktop search later because they saw, you know, your lawyer's answer to it. They do a different search. Those are two different searches, but they really are one. And the second one wouldn't have happened if you didn't do the first piece. So
that's right. But what if you live 20 minutes away from where you did the first search? You're going to get different search results. If I'm downtown and I did the search and I live in the suburbs, when I did the search on my phone, I get one set of search results. When I go home, I'm going to get a different set of the local search results because my IP address is further away, right? So I'm going to get the local attorneys there. So it's interesting how things are shaking out, but when it comes to local business, by working and putting it out there, like say you are a local attorney and you are just in the suburbs, you could actually do articles that focus on a neighborhood or the town and then the town next door. So you can spread your, you know, through your keywords by writing articles and maybe publishing them in different places with the keyword being in that neighborhood or that town, and then working on citations to expand your reach.
Makes sense. What's changed in terms of like link building and requirements of like authority in order to rank? Because lawyers, you know, it's a high powered game. Surprisingly, not every lawyer is ethical in how they acquire their backlinks. They may be very legalistic, but maybe not so much when it comes to the link building side. Not saying that's necessarily anyone you've worked with, but I'm sure that you've seen some. It's not the most cutthroat industry I've worked in. Poop scoopers are a little more cutthroat, and surprisingly, steel door manufacturers, locksmiths. But when it comes to building links, what's evolved, and how does that play into your overall strategy?
We try to focus on the main backlinks being the top backlinks in the legal industry, right? Like we talked about the 88 top, we have a list of the 88. Of course, you start with Fine Law and all the big guys that everybody knows, and then work your way down and make sure everything is identical. From there, when it comes to backlinks, look at local. If you're local, look at local. Again, your Chamber of Commerce, if you sponsor a cheerleading team or a t-ball team or any of those kinds of things, if you're involved in any kind of charity events, get a backlink. Because it's not just, you know, the spray and pray as we used to do in the, you know, back in the day, and you know, find somebody with a private network of blogs and just buy 1,200 posts in a day. You know, it's not like that anymore. They're valid. They need to be valid websites, but they don't necessarily. If it's local, it doesn't have to be within your industry, but it's relevant. You know, whether it's the bake sale for the. The Eagles are side of Pink of Charity, but, you know, they're doing something and you get a backlink because you helped with that.
So it's almost a hybridization of SEO back with more traditional PR practices of creating visibility for business by being active in the community and looking to, as an SEO, suggesting and looking for opportunities to, say, do a community cleanup. And, you know, get your name out there, maybe get some other businesses to do the cleanup with you. But everybody that shows up, and then make sure you get, you know, talk to the city hall and see if you can get a link for that event to happen. And all of that builds, you know,
exactly.
Local trust and local links. And I also found this out. So submit to like your local subreddit. And submit to your local Facebook groups, because those show up like literally with, I did a GPT search within 10 minutes of posting on that Facebook group for an event that I sponsored in Sarasota for a client, and it showed up in 15 minutes in GPT. Which means that it indexed in Google, you know, or it indexed that quickly and was pulled out of it. And I checked Gemini, and it was there in half an hour. It had information about that beach cleanup event that quickly. So,
well, now I've got a client that created during COVID, when everything was locked down. As we were coming out of that, she created support the area, and it's a generic. There was a name for the area. It covers three counties. And invited all the business owners to come in. In almost no time, it reached 2,500 in members, right? It's a free members group, but you need to be in that local area. And it is still going today, and it is growing, it's fast, and there's consistent repetition. She didn't monetize it, but she does limit how many times you can post a day, because there's always that one or two that want to post their ad like seven times a day.
Yeah.
It's gotten really good. I mean, it was at the point where, in the beginning, it's like, hey, we're looking at taking a weekend away. Anybody know of a little getaway hotel, whatever, in so-and-so? And they get recommendations. And then a new business would open. Oh, my God, did you guys see the new bakery on Main Street? And it just, it was so representing the local community. And there were three cities. And it just grew. And people, it was how everybody got involved to promote each other, review each other. And, you know, it helps everybody. And, yeah, each one of those posts and members, all of that gets indexed.
Yeah. I think we got to up our game as SEOs. Like, we can't just come to clients and say, hey, we want to make 5 blog posts a month and we'll get you 2 backlinks and that'll be, you know, $2,000 a month.
Yeah. I think it's about time for a new version of the Guerrilla Marketing book. Guerrilla Marketing with AI and SEO, right?
Yeah.
Because there's so many different things that are changing. You just got to, like I said, when it comes to the Google Business Profile, there's so many features that most people don't know about because they haven't looked around in there. And, of course, local businesses don't have time for that. That's not what they specialize in. They specialize in their business.
Yeah. So. One thing that I was playing around with a client is their car dealership is having them do a 360 tour of their location, which you used to have to hire a professional in order to get those added. They had like a back end, you know, specialty thing, and a special program for those 360 photographers. And they could actually move your pin and fix some of those Google placement issues for you. They took that away, but they did that. You can still add 360 photos to your own location yourself. And there's a handful of experts out there who still have that equipment who can come and do a photo shoot of your location, which, you know, that's additional interesting content to add to your GPT too.
Exactly. I mean, drone footage of it. I mean, it's just there's so much you can do. But I just say, you know, there's certain things that are going to fade off, right? They just drop off. They only live for a certain amount of time. But by adding to it, you know, Google is number one because it gives you the user experience that people want and engagement. So if you engage with your Google Business Profile as much as possible, they're going to see that you care, and you will get more traction. You will be showing up on more searches, and you can look at your insights in the management portal to see how it's changing over time.
Yeah, I think that's another area where there's stats and information that you're ignoring. I add a UTM parameter to the profile. Is that still best practice? You do that
yes.
too?
Yeah, that way, we UTM so much stuff. Absolutely.
Do you have any lawyers that have like multi locations? What's best practice in that area?
Same. And we, you know, you can actually do that. And but we take the same information and put it on both. Like if you're writing an article, we may rotate and do 3 or 4 articles and put them on the different ones. But we're optimizing each location the same amount of content, the same amount of touches, because we want Google to see that both of them are extremely user-friendly and that we're engaged. And the thing is if you're a local business and your biggest competition is a franchise or a corporation, you can bet your butt they're not doing all these things.
I do have one question about that. Let's say that you do like Nashville, Franklin, and Cookeville are your three communities. And Nashville is your main one. Do you make 3 different location pages, or do you have one?
If you have addresses, yes.
Okay. And instead of linking to the homepage for Nashville, you would actually make a Nashville-specific page and link that on GBP versus just the homepage.
So, no, I would have 3 GBPs. Right, one for each city, because remember how you show up in the where you rank in the map pack has to do with location of the searcher, relevance of the search, and in the category that you've chosen. So you want to make sure that those are there. But I would have all 3 on your website. They would link to the homepage of your website unless you could be super relevant, because there's specifics for one. Like if you don't have say you're a family law and you don't have a divorce attorney in Franklin. That's a stupid example, but you know what I mean. If you cover a lot of things and you don't do this in this office, I don't know, any particular reason to have something different, you can have a Franklin page that you link to. Or you send all 3 GBPs to your homepage, but you keep those 3 separate because obviously they'd have a different address and they have a different phone number.
Okay, so it's really that the site that if there is a unique different citation, then there should be a different GBP.
If it's a different address, it needs to be a different GBP, because the location is what makes the difference. And with most attorneys, they are local specific. If you've taken enough time and money to open another office, that's so you can reach that audience. If you try to keep that, get that audience to reach you in Nashville, Google is never going to put you as the 1, 2, or 3 in Franklin.
Okay.
Right? So you need to use that Google Business Profile, because Google wants to give you, remember, the near me searches have increased over 900% in the last 2 years. So people in Franklin are looking for a Franklin-based attorney. They don't want to get in that traffic. They don't want to have to deal with that and go downtown or whatever in Nashville. You know, suburban attorneys are the ones that are getting it done well, because, you know, people don't want to get in the traffic anymore.
Makes sense. So wrapping it up, like, what's the 2 action items that you would tell people to do, like, right after they stop listening?
Make sure you've claimed, optimized, and verified your Google Business Profile. Make sure that you complete all the basic information and you do something to it every week. Whether that's reply to a review, put a post, add a photo, questions and answers, do something once a week. Or call someone who can do that.
Questions and answers. Is it okay to post a question and answer it yourself as the business on the same profile? Okay.
Yes. Because it's what you're doing is, remember, again, we're talking engagement and user experience. If you ask a question and answer it, so think of your FAQs. Yeah. Every business has FAQs, and that's what I tell people to do. Go put an FAQ up once a week. Google sees that you are interested and you care about the user experience because you're giving more information to them.
Yeah.
You're going to show up in more searches.
Okay. That was my question. Like, I wanted to recommend doing that, but it's like, they're going to see that as spammy, you know, but it was pretty open-ended, so I just wanted to...
It's on your website, right? You have FAQs on your website, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Local Business. Why wouldn't you put it on Google? So here's the thing. If I would put my FAQs on as a post on Facebook, only 10% of my audience is going to see that. But if I put it on Google, 100% of the people who search for my business will see that.
Good. Brilliant. I like it. Love it. Thank you so much for your time, Marilyn. This has been fascinating, excellent conversation. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.